Psalms chapter 24, verses 1 through 6. And this is the New King James Version. The earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face.
Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. This is so good to be back with you as we take another journey through God's word. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for his word. As we get a little closer to the word and going through and talking about the Holy Spirit, I just want to give some announcements. I want to encourage you, please download that app if you haven't already, our Ebenezer Baptist Church app. Notifications have been great. We had a lot of things going on. We've had free food given away from some surrounding churches that are connected with us, and family and friends tell them about what's going on too. So please, the app is not just for Ebenezer. Anybody who would like to stay connected with us, please download that. And at ebcnc.com, don't forget that. We've got so many things that are going on, different Bible studies, just to edify you and encourage you in times like these. There's so much going on, but aren't you glad for God's grace and his mercy? Next Sunday, yes, it's here. Next Sunday, we will be adding. We're not taking away, but we're adding. We'll still have our online services at 10 o'clock. Online services 10 o'clock, just as we are doing today. But we're going to be adding in-person services. We were in the church before Thanksgiving. COVID numbers went up. But because the numbers are kind of coming back down, we feel it's safer to come back in, masked and social distance. So March 14th will be the day we will go in person. 8:45 will be the first service, and 10:45 will be the second service. Again, mask, social distance, and we want you just to be praying. And you choose as your led of the Spirit, which one that God is leading you to be a part of, in person or online. We're keeping those up. I'm preaching the same sermon series, so I continue to teach on the Holy Spirit. But those in-person services, 8:45 and 10:45. And we just thank God for his covering and his love for Ebenezer. Just want to go into our giving scripture. I've just been blessed so often just being able to repeat this and quote it. But 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:9, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Isn't that beautiful scripture? Just encouraging, so encouraging. We thank you for your giving. Maybe you're using the Tithely app or through our app. We thank you. Maybe you're sending it in to a secure mailbox. We thank you. Thank you so much for all that you're doing. God has truly been blessing all of us and providing for all of us in this season. Well, I'm excited. We've got someone to pray for us today. And we've got some other things that we're putting in the service. Just to let you know, God is still in the blessing business. Well, after this prayer, we'll be back.
Jesus, help come into our hearts and help us be nice. Jesus, help a church be a safe place to go and learn Jesus with Pastor Woods. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to praise you forever and ever and ever for all you've done for me. Blessings and glory and honor, they all belong to you. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me. I just want to praise you forever and ever and ever for all you've done for me. Blessings and glory and honor, they all belong to you. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me. Thank you. I just want to thank you forever and ever and ever for all you've done for me. Blessings and glory and honor, they all belong to you. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me. I just want to thank you forever and ever and ever for all you've done for me. Blessings and glory and honor, they all belong to you. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me.
I'm just so happy to be a part of the body of Christ and how God just uses us together, that He be glorified in everything. Well, I'm excited about this word, the scriptures that we're going to get in today. I just want to give us a little review. We've actually been talking and dealing with the Holy Spirit, His personality traits, and our topic scripture that we've been focusing on is Genesis chapter 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Isn't that beautiful? And the topic that we've been dealing with is the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit. And I want you to really, as we're going through all of this, to think about what God is doing in you as a believer and what it's taken to get us to this point. Our focus scripture today that I want to jump into is John 14:17. John 14:17. While you're meditating on that and focusing in, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for who you are. Lord, I just love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you that you're working in us via your Holy Spirit. And I pray for those who are looking in and listening now that may not know you, would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift. Lord, I pray for those who are saved, that they be encouraged, that you have so much for us to do, Lord. You are transforming us so much into your likeness, Lord, that we be submissive to your will. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And Holy Spirit, we're teaching on you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Thank you for your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. John 14:17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I'm going to read that again. John 14:17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I want to speak from a subject today, the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. On last time, we have really worked our way Old Testament. We were dealing with John the Baptist and that baptism of Jesus and the dove coming down, the Holy Spirit and the Father saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Also, I gave you an object lesson to try to understand the difference of how the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament and how he's working in the New Testament. Remember, I brought our smoke detector on last time, and I wanted to bring it back just to add a little bit. Remember that a battery is the semblance of the Holy Spirit. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon priests. He would come upon kings for a period of time, and he would sit upon them, and therefore there would be power. In the same respect, God's thinking in this process of time, how do I keep the Holy Spirit there? Because we found out with the first king, King Saul, because of his sin, the Holy Spirit was taken away. We've seen so many within the scriptures and the prophets, when they went bad, the Holy Spirit would be taken away. So God's thought, how can I keep the Holy Spirit in my people? And that's where the New Testament comes. And I really want you to pay close attention, because through Jesus' teaching, as we get into this scripture, now the Holy Spirit comes and he sits and goes inside the believer. And there's a door. And Jesus is that door who keeps the Holy Spirit on the inside, because he is our sacrifice. Isn't that good? And therefore, the power comes through Christ. He's the bridge and the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. As we go a little further today, just a background to get us into this portion of scripture. Time frame is about 33 AD. It is at the end part of Jesus' ministry, just before he goes to the cross for us. He's been talking to his disciples. He's given them the revelation that he's going to have to die for them. In the midst of these talking, Peter is rebuked, because Peter's like, "You're not going to go," but he's rebuked. And Peter is even told that you're going to deny me. We find out that a betrayer is going to be revealed, Judas, and this whole process. So the disciples are thinking, is it me? Even though the name hadn't been given, he said, "The one that dipped with me." So there's a lot of heart issues that are going on in the 13th chapter. And as we transition today into this 14th chapter, I want you to focus in on the 15 and 16 verse, because now Christ is revealing, in spite of your issues, in spite of your struggles, in spite of denials and betrayals and all these other things that are going on the inside, they were even vying for who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. In spite of all of this stuff, I'm going to do something for you that's going to enable my Holy Spirit not just to sit upon you for a period of time, but to dwell in you, abode. Don't forget that, abode on the inside of us. Let's jump into this. John 14, 15 and 16. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Our first point, the believer has help. The believer has help. Isn't that good news? I need all the help that I can get. The believer has help. Now, as we look at this scripture a little closely in John 14, 15, he puts that, he said, "If you love me," this is a prerequisite, "keep my commandments." This is critical, because the Holy Spirit comes and he manifests himself in a powerful way when we accept what Jesus Christ has done and we keep his word. That John 14, 16, the mid part of it, and he said, "And he will give you another helper." Yes, the believer has help. He will give you another helper. What does that mean? So Jesus is teaching them. Remember, they're sad from the 13th chapter. He's teaching them, "I'm going to have to go away." But he said, "Hey, this is for your good. When I go away, I'm going to give you another helper." Now, this Greek word is paraclete. It means he's our advocate. He's going to come alongside with us. He's going to dwell with us. Jesus, in the physical flesh, he could only be with them one at a time. a time per se or in groups as they're sitting around each other. But God, the Father, in His omnipotence and His knowledge and understanding of how things are going to have to come, He says, I'm going to give you my Spirit, my Holy Spirit, that's going to be inside of you. It's going to be inside of you. It's going to be inside of you all at the same time. Isn't that good? The Spirit of truth. 1 John 2:1 actually gives us understanding of this paraclete or this advocate. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, listen to this, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's good. I don't want to miss this in that 14 and 16th verse, that last part of it. It said that He may abide with you forever. Any hallelujahs out there that for the believer, those who have accepted with their whole heart what Jesus has done, we have the Holy Spirit. He abides with us forever. The Old Testament, Holy Spirit would sit upon kings, sit upon priests, as said before, but sometimes He would be removed because of the things that were going on. But for the believer, we have the Spirit on the inside. Somebody needs to say thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Now, please understand, and I'm going to explain a little further, a little later on this. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can hinder the Holy Spirit. We can cause problems by not keeping ourselves clean. But the Holy Spirit is with us forever. John 14:17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Here's another point. You must choose the Spirit or the world. Please get that. You must choose the Spirit or the world. Now, this is key, and I'll be honest, as I'm looking at where we are in our society and even the present day church, and I'm not even dealing with the pandemic and the things that the pandemic has brought out within the church, but we've got to choose. We've got to make a decision. Am I for God or am I for the world? And so often we have tried to bridge that gap. We want a little bit of a world and we want a little bit of God. We want to mix it all together. But for the believer with the Holy Spirit, that's just not going to work. Remember Joshua in the Old Testament, he gave a saying to the Israelites. He said, okay, you got to choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. He said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so we've got to make a decision that we're all in. Am I going to choose the Spirit? Or am I going to choose the world? Jesus actually explains this further as he's teaching disciples in that 15th chapter. In the 18th and 19th verse, he said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. A choice has to be made. We've got to choose, as you see in that scripture, we've got to choose Christ, we've got to choose the Spirit, or we've got to choose the world. There's no wiggle room in this. And Jesus even brings it to a higher level. I can see the disciples that they're listening to Jesus now, and they're going, okay, I can't have a little bit of the world. I can't have a little bit of the enticements. In his priestly prayer, Jesus brings out in John 17th chapter, that 13th verse, he says, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. That 14th verse, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. John 17:15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Our whole personality traits, we must understand, is not about the world. We are Christ. God is transforming us. He's in us. Look at that 17th verse as Jesus continues to pray, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And then that 19th verse, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. The truth of this, talking about the Spirit Spirit of truth, that God has put us here to be separated. Yeah, we're in the world, and we have to go to our jobs, and we have to interact with people that are around us, and we hear and we see the news and the state of our world and what's going on. But please understand, we are ambassadors. We're just passing through. Any hallelujahs? And as you grow in the Lord, as you allow yourself submissiveness more to hear the movement of the Spirit on the inside, you'll realize, and even on the beautiful days, you'll be going, this place is just not my home. Thank God for life and health and strength and family and loved ones. And thank God for good times. And thank God for vacations. And thank God for being able to see things that maybe you never saw before. But there's something deep on the inside of the believer says there has to be more. And that's the Spirit speaking to us, that we have been sanctified, separated from this world. And God has so much more for us prepared. Any hallelujahs out there? Look at this next portion of scripture, John 14:18. Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Wow, that's a lot. But Jesus is digging in, helping the disciples to understand how this relationship is going to have to go. Here's another point. The Spirit binds us to the Father and Son. Yes, the Spirit binds us to the Father and Son, that the personality we're dealing with. I wanted to give just another object lesson. I was thinking about this binding process and what the Spirit does. Just imagine us as one of these sticks, and we've got the Father and the Son, and what the Holy Spirit does, he's the binding, he's the rope. And those who are Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts, you know that binding process, tight. The Holy Spirit ties us all together. Isn't that good? That's what he does. He binds us together. He keeps us together. That is the personality trait of the Holy Spirit. Now there's an example in the Ecclesiastes of this, in a semblance, what this does, this binding process. Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Ecclesiastes 4:11. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Ecclesiastes 4:12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily, look at that, or not quickly broken. Now, I love this part, because that gives the semblance of this binding process. And even the rope that I use to bind, please understand, it's threefold. It actually has three parts in that. Doesn't that remind you of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and what he's doing in us and keeping us together? But please, the reality of it all, if it had not been for God on our side, are there any hallelujahs out there? There ought to be some chats to say, hallelujah, I'm with you, Pastor. If it had not been for God on our side, we would have lost our mind yesterday, last week, last year. We wouldn't be here at this point. Please understand, it's all about the Lord. I was reading an article that my brother-in-law sent me. I think it was the one of the oldest women in the world. It's like 118 years. And I'll be honest, I thought about it. I said, 118 years. I don't even know if I want to live that long and have to go through all of that. But I bet if you talk to her, she'd tell you, if it had not been for God on my side, she'd seen some good days and some bad days. But for the believer, aren't you glad that we've got God's Spirit of truth on the inside of us? Look at John 14:22. As they're talking and they're processing this whole thing, they're trying to figure out, okay, Jesus, you're talking about the helper, you're talking about the advocate, we're being encouraged. How is all of this going to work out? 14:22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. 24th verse, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. You look at all that. That's a heavy thought, and it's intertwined talking about the spirit of truth. Here's another point. Please get this one. The home of the Holy Spirit is in the believer. So his home is in the believer. His home is in the believer. The Holy Spirit desires to dwell in us. And if you are a believer, he actually dwells on the inside of us. Now, another prerequisite of this is we've got to keep God's word. We talked about that. We talked about that over and over again, but Jesus brings it out again. He keeps saying, you got to keep my word. Got to keep my word. John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, over and over again. And then that last part, he says, he will come to him. I love this. And he will make our home with him. Our home with him. In the Greek, broken down, that means to abode. I gave you that word a little earlier, and we've been talking about that. He says, I'm going to dwell with you via the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be with you at all times. I'm excited about this, because just to know that God is aboding with us and dwelling with us, but understand him being in us, the spirit of truth, and inside of us, we can still grieve him. I told you about that earlier. We can grieve him when we allow other things to come in. Let me show you Ephesians 4:29. Paul the apostle, he brings this out, letter of the spirit. He says, let no corrupt word, ouch, proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That 30th verse, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's good. I want to stop there, because this is critical. And as I've been growing in the Lord and trying to seek him, I just want to be transparent and honest. I haven't always said every word that's edifying for people. Sometimes I've been sarcastic, and maybe I tried to be funny, but it did not edify people. And as the years have grown on, I'm like, Lord, I want to be better for you. And this scripture brings out, because the Holy Spirit is magnificent on the inside, I don't want to grieve him. And I pray that you don't want to grieve him. And this scripture said that every word, no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but is good for edifying and make impart grace. That's the way the Holy Spirit wants us to live, and that's what he's changing us to be more like him. That 31st verse, it says, let all bitterness, I heard another ouch, wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The spirit of truth. You see all of that? So because the spirit of truth, he dwells inside a believer, there has to be a cleansing process that's going on. And we have to submit ourselves. And we say, God, I need you to clean up my mouth. And I need you to clean up my mind. I want to be cognizant. I want to be aware more of your presence, because I don't want to grieve you. You remember we talked about in the Old Testament, David said, please, God, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. For the believer, we know he's on the inside of us. He'll dwell with us forever. But at the same time, we don't want to grieve him. Henson, a noted theologian, he gives this quote, and it really challenged me to think about it, because oftentimes when we look at the Gospels and we read the Gospel, we go, man, if I was one of the disciples and I was sitting at Jesus' feet, what would have been like just to hear those words and to have Christ and to be able to touch him? Henson writes this. He says, by the Spirit of God, we can actually know Christ better today than the disciples knew him when he was on earth. When he was here, those in the front of the crowd were closer to him than those in the rear. Isn't that amazing? But today, by faith, each of us can enjoy the closest of fellowship with him. Hallelujah. The closest of fellowship with him. But how often do we neglect that fellowship? Man, I was in prayer this morning, and I began to worship. There was a song that came in my heart, and just worship and lifting up my hands to God. And I was just thinking about how often we neglect that fellowship. Some of us relegate the fellowship to just the physical church that we come to, or physical building, and we only get our praise and worship on one particular day. But I'm telling you, when you become aware of God's spirit. You cannot go a day without saying, Lord, thank you. You cannot go a day without tuning in and hearing his sweet, still voice speaking to us to be more like him, the spirit of truth. Look at John 14, 25 and 26. These things, Jesus says, I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Here's another point. The Spirit wants to teach you. Yes, the Spirit wants to teach you. A whole progress, and I've really been examining the church. We've been doing some teachings in our Bible study on what is the church. So often we get sidetracked. Yes, God gives teachers to the bodies, and he gives evangelists, prophets, and we know those gifts that he gives, but those gifts were never given to be dependent upon on totally. Please understand, the Holy Spirit is our teachers. The gifts were given to us to confirm what the Spirit is already speaking on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Even as I'm teaching and I'm going through, I'm trying to hear the Holy Spirit as he speaks to you, it should be confirming what the Holy Spirit is already teaching you, what the Holy Spirit is already doing on the inside. That's why we say amen, amen to that, because we identify, man, that's speaking to my spirit. I've been in so many services where there was a preacher that was anointed of God, a teacher that was anointed of God, and when they spoke and they were going through, I was like, yes, yes, amen, hallelujah, because it spoke to me the same thing that the Holy Spirit was already teaching. But I've been in some other places that people got up and they talked and they went through. They were gifted in a sense, but the power and the anointing was there, and it did not identify with the Holy Spirit's teaching that was inside of me. So the Spirit wants to teach you. I want you to look a little closely at that 26th verse. Notice this. I love this part. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sent, he's helps. He comes alongside of us. He assists us. Look at that middle part. He will teach you all things. And then that last part, bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Christ would actually teach this in Luke chapter 12 and 11. He says, now when they bring you to the synagogues and the magistrates and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit, are you with me, will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Hallelujah. It was teaching the disciples, and he said, you're going to get to the point, you're going to be going through some stuff, and you're not going to have time to write out some things and get your thoughts together. There's no time for outlining or memorization, but when you get to the point, because the Spirit is going to be, he's going to teach you, he's going to give you what you need to say, and there ought to be some hallelujahs. I've been there, and I'm getting better at just hearing the voice of the Lord, and when I get to the point, I slow myself down, and the Spirit is able to speak more, because he is the Spirit of truth. I love this, because it's encapsulated even further in the book of Romans at that 8:26, one of my favorite verses. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Any weak people out there? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, are you with me, himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That 27th verse, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. God is saying in his word, he said, I've given you the Spirit, and he's helping you in your weakness. Paul the apostle understood. Remember when he was going through a thorn in his flesh, and he came to the point, he said, I found out when I'm weak, then I'm strong, because the Spirit is like, I got you, I got you. When you're down, I'm going to pick you up. When you feel like you're leaning, I'm going to straighten you up. I'm right there with you. I'm leading you, guiding you, and hugging you. There ought to be some hallelujahs to know that the Spirit of truth is on the inside of us. Let me get to this last verse of the day. John 14:27. I love this part. I love this part. I'm excited. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Isn't that good news? Here's the final point. The Spirit brings peace. Yes, the Spirit brings peace. That's so good. There's been so many times in my life that the peace of God has come up in the midst of turmoil. I remember Bianca and I, we were going through with one of our first child. I don't remember when. I think it was Tabitha, and we were there were complications with the pregnancy, and God gave her Bianca the song that we've learned: peace, peace, God's peace, His peace I give from you to me, that the world can't take away and the world can't give, but God can give that peace. And here Jesus saying, that's what a personality trait of the Holy Spirit is. He brings peace. I tell people, when they're making decisions in their life, go for the peace. Yeah, go for the peace. Slow yourself down, because the enemy is about confusion. The enemy is about all this stuff that's going on. But if we can slow ourselves down, the Holy Spirit is about peace. Go where that peace is. But the problem is, we have to slow ourselves down. We've got to get into the Word. We've got to pray and seek God's face so that we can hear and cleanse out all of that junk that's around, so the Spirit can move and not be grieved and hindrance. Look closely at the 27th verse, that last part, that peace brings something. The disciples were going through, they were struggling. Jesus, you said you're going to leave us. You said somebody's going to betray, somebody's going to deny you. All this stuff is going on. What are we going to do without you? You're going to die. We don't understand that. That last part says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is so good. Aren't you glad that God is a heart fixer? God is able to fix. And some of you are out there right now going through in your lives, and your heart is troubled. You're worried about the pandemic. You're worried about COVID-19. You're worried about getting old. You're worried about provisions. You're worried about your jobs. You're worried about your car. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about this and that. All of these things are coming. I'm not just talking to old people, but some young people are going through, worried about college and worried about what they're going to do, worried about exams, worried about what the job is going to be next, worried about where they're going to have to go, worried about family. But when you've got the Spirit of truth on the inside, we can slow ourselves down, as said before, and now we get peace, and our hearts don't have to be troubled. That's why I am so glad to know Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One. I'm so glad, because as I led off with that object lesson, remember I said that Jesus is the door. He's the one that keeps the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. John 10:9, it gives us this. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy, but I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I'm so glad. That's why Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, took the nails in his hands and his nails in the feet, because he carried all of our sins and carried all of our griefs. He died on that cross. They put him in the cold tomb, but he got up on the third day with all power and glory. And that's shouting news, but please understand, him getting up with all power and glory allowed the Spirit of truth to come into those who accepted what Jesus did. And now the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, can dwell on the inside of us. I'm telling you, that is good news, to know that God has sent his helper for us. God has allowed his advocate to be in us, working in us, changing us. And now we can say, as the old saint said, every day gets sweeter and sweeter than the day before. I beg you, if you don't know this Savior, if you don't know this Jesus, this Christ who has sacrificed everything for us, would you please confess him today? Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. It's by grace through faith, not of yourself, but it's a gift of God. For the believers that are out there, I want you to not take for granted what God has done through Jesus Christ and allowing his Spirit on the inside of you. And I encourage you today to say, I don't want to grieve the Spirit anymore. I want to go deeper in God and to realize I have a purpose. I have a calling. He wants to teach me. And every second, every minute, every day, you constantly look to God, his Spirit on the inside of you. Say, use me, Lord. Use me for thy service. Oh, it's such a wonderful thing to know God has come to dwell with man. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this word, Lord. I'm just excited. The revelation, even just studying it and going over and over again, just to know that your spirit dwells in the believer. Thank you for that, God. Thank you. I pray for those who don't know you, that the day be their day, Lord, that their heart be open up. Oh, God, and they welcome you in. God, thank you for the believers, Lord, for changing us to be more like you. Forgive our sins, Lord, for we've messed up. We've grieved you and we've hindered you because we've taken in the world when we shouldn't have. But, Lord, today, let this be a spring cleaning, a day that we say, no, Holy Spirit, I want you to have your way in me. Father, I just give you praise, honor, and glory for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Desire to see your power.
want to welcome you to our communion time as a church family. It's such a blessing to be able to come together, even with my family, as we sit down and before we even start this portion, we go around and just ask, is there any sin, open or private sin or unforgiveness that needs to be put forth? And that's just a cleansing time. And we also talk about this is a very serious time and a blessed time that we get to think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us. So as we go into the communion service today, before we get started, I'm just going to ask Philip if he would give us a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul the Apostle, receiving revelation from the Lord, begins to speak on very intimate and pertinent matters when it comes to communion. Philip.
For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world."
Amen. Very powerful when we think about it. So before we go into prayer, and while we're praying, I want you to examine yourself and to think about, is there anything in your heart that you're holding that you need to confess? This is the time to get it out, that we can take the communion together in a worthy manner. So I'm going to ask Mama Nita if she would pray over the bread, and ask Bianca if you pray over the juice.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to the goose for our sins, dear God. We ask you to bless this bread, dear God, that was broken for your body. Go with us all and stand by us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we just praise you and thank you for this day. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for his blood that was spilled to wash away our sins, Lord. And we just thank you for the symbol of the juice, that we can remember what you've done for us on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. When Jesus went up into the upper room with his disciples, it seemed like just a regular Passover to all the disciples that were there, and a fun time in a sense. Jesus quickly changed it, the articles, to let them know that, hey, what we're doing now is what I'm getting ready to do for you. I'm going to be your sacrifice. I'm going to be that bread. I'm going to be that juice. That juice representing the blood, and that bread representing the body. I can imagine as he picks up that bread and he breaks it, and he talks about it representing his body. We broke in pieces from the bread, and I'm going to pass it around now that we can all think about Jesus' body being broken and bruised for us, for our sins, for our griefs, for all the messed up thoughts that we've had in our minds, the unforgiveness that we've had in our lives. Jesus took it all for us. So as we think about Christ and his body, as often as we eat this bread, let us do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together. And Jesus would grab the goblet at that time, and oftentimes they would share in that goblet. I can just imagine him with the redness, and he thinks about it, and it's shared amongst the disciples. And he says, "This represents my blood that's going to be shed for you." Think about that. I often process in my mind, like, blood, that's heavy. But we sing that song, and sometimes we just don't think about the significance. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I want us to really think about that blood that he shed on the cross for us it cleansed us. He was our sacrifice. So as often as we drink, let us do it in remembrance of him. At this time, after the Passover time, Scripture said that they would go to a place, the mountain valley area, and they would sing hymns together. They would think about the glory of the Father, and Jesus is thinking about the cross is coming. But after the cross, that resurrection on the third day, what a mighty God we serve. So this time I'm going to ask one of the family members to lead us in a song.
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart roll away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. At the cross. Well, thank you for being a part of this communion time, and I want you to give God praise in everything you do and thank him for all the wonders that he's done for us. Talk to you soon. I'm so happy for the Spirit of Truth. Aren't you glad for the Spirit of Truth and what he's doing? Just that even when we take communion and we're sharing with one another and we're loving on one another, do you know the Holy Spirit is right there with us? Hallelujah. That's good news. So as you go through the week, please center in on what God has done for you and listen to God's presence that dwells inside a believer. Again, if you don't know him, today's your day. Confess Jesus. Ask him into your heart. Ask forgiveness of your sins, and the Holy Spirit will be welcomed in to lead you and guide you into all truth. Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.